Well, tonight, gosh, what an exciting Bible study. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Man, what a great portion of Scripture. I know I say that every time we open our Bibles, but I mean it every time. This is really exciting to me. What a great place to be in the Word tonight and to just to kind of muse on this and think about it as we're traveling through 1 Samuel, traveling through the Old Testament. One of the things that we might remember is Samuel's kind of bridging that gap, last of the judges, first of the prophets, you know, leading into, you know, anointing a king, and he's just in this unique role, isn't he, you know, that's coming for him. And he's got this real destiny, this real purpose that God's called him to. And, you know, he's brought into the earth, brought into being, you know, as his mom was praying and wanting a son and got her heart right, and his being committed over to the Lord. And just what a wonderful storyline we're following so far, and how exciting. Even though there's kind of craziness ensues around him, Eli and Eli's sons are kind of wacky and not really flying right and doing right and so on. But, you know, even still, Samuel's there just serving the Lord, doing what he's supposed to be doing, staying on track. So it's pretty exciting as we watch this storyline unfold. He is roughly anywhere at this point in time, somewhere 15, 17 years old. So it kind of gives us an age idea to think about, you know, how old he is at this as we hit chapter 3. Still a young, you know, just still kind of considered a boy, you know, young guy, but certainly not to be discounted, you know, or to be looked down upon because he's a young guy. God certainly wants to use those who are available to him, and certainly Samuel is available. But I wanted you to remember something. As we had finished Judges, before we had gotten into Ruth, at the conclusion of Judges, it says in verse 25, the last verse in Judges, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Very important to know that was the mindset of the people. It's backslidden. That's a backslidden mindset. We live in a time that's like that. Our world, our society can use all the Samuels that God wants to drop in our laps. We need all of that kind of ministry going on that could be going on. And so I think we've got some great things we can learn tonight about Samuel as a person that might help to open our eyes of understanding on how we might know the Lord more intimately. God is speaking. God is not silent today. God is speaking. And I think that's important for us to note. God is speaking today. He's not silent. A couple of things to note. One of the things is Psalm 19. We're going to look at a couple of Psalms real quick before we get started in 1 Samuel. But Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The law in verse 7 of chapter 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and my strength, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19 starts off the first six verses there as God, through creation, is giving general revelation of his existence. General revelation. We want to know God's will. We want to know God's ways. We want to have understanding of who God is and how he's working. He gives us general revelation. But then he goes on in verse 7 through 14 and starts to tell us, yes, but we can know God more intimately. We can get specific direction from God as we, or specific revelation even to know God personally as we see his word and the law that he's given us, and we see his ways are perfect. And so there's general knowledge and revelation of who God is. And there is also specific revelation, information given to us through his word. So it's kind of interesting to see how the information is dispensed. Not only is there this general, but there is a way to know him specifically. And we're going to get into that a little bit more tonight. Why don't you flip a few more pages over and go to chapter 29 of Psalm 29. Thinking of the voice of God and wanting to discern the voice of God. Because this is where it starts really coming together. Learning to discern the voice of God. How desperately we want to know God's leading and his ways, his will, his guidance, his direction. Is it unknowable? See, that this is the thing. We kind of think, well, I it's not something I could know. That's not true. God is speaking, and we're going to talk about that tonight. This is a wonderful portion here to look at. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, in verse 1 of chapter 29, Psalm. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now I'll tell you something. I think I might have heard him on a flight earlier this week. I had to go to a radio conference, and pretty sure I heard from God. I felt bad for everybody else on the plane, but an incident always occurs. It's just the nature of my travels. But we were coming into Nashville on Monday, early Monday morning, and there were tornado warnings and stuff all around the airport area around there. And we were coming in, and it was just real turbulent. That was a bummer, but that's not to worry. Getting thrown around quite a bit, and then all of a sudden, super, super, super bright light flash. I mean, blinding bright light flashes. Then all of a sudden, the lights go out in the plane, and you know an immediate big explosion sound. And it's not a crack. It's not a pop. It was an explosion. You know, and so the plane got hit with lightning, and it was right on the right wing, right by the engine, right about that spot. And I thought, well, there you have it. You know, that is just in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to start seeing smoke and flames. You know, it's going to be an interesting morning. You know, see how God works this situation out. And I've flown a lot, and I've never had that exact experience happen like that. Turbulence, yes. Radical turbulence, yes. Super severe drops, all kinds of things. But the actual lightning strike like that had pops and crackles and all kinds of things, but not that one. That was really something. Man, God was speaking. But I just sat there, and there was no smoke or people are screaming, and you know, all that stuff goes on. But I thought, you know, gosh, you know, God's not done yet, so we'll get where we're going. It's, you know, sorry you had to go through this, everybody, but, you know, this is the way it goes, you know, for me. Anyway, I'm thinking as I'm reading this, you know, the God of glory thunders, you know. And I mean, you know, gosh, you think of God speaking, not necessarily just through that incident or through that kind of a thing, but just the voice of the Lord. God is there. God's ministering. God's doing things. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. You know, I've seen what happens. I've climbed up into attics and seen when a lightning strikes hit a house, and I've seen what happens to the timbers. I mean, it just splinters big timbers and just fragments them and, you know, it just goes into it and then finds this outlet and just blows it to pieces. It's crazy. It's amazing to see. Breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You know, God speaks. God's moving. God's voice can be known. That's what's amazing in this tonight, what we're going to talk about. There are a lot of voices out there. I had someone talk to me a while back, and they were telling me about, they're more technically aware of things than I am, and they were describing to me white noise, you know, white noise. You know, I hear the terms like that and stuff, and I, white noise. And so, you know, just ambient, a lot of just noise going on out there. And it's just kind of backdrop, unreally undiscernible, just noise. There's a lot of voices out there. And don't you wonder sometimes, was that God? Was that my conscience? Was it God working through my conscience? Was that, you know, what was that? And tonight, I think we can start to learn a couple of things. We'll go through a handful of ideas out of this or maybe some principles that maybe we can extract to help us to determine whether we're really hearing from the Lord or not. Or are we even in a position, are we in a spot where we're receptive to the Lord? So if I were to think about it in this way, I would look at it more like our radio dial. And there's a lot of voices out there. There is stuff on airwaves flying all around us right now. That's a fact. Now, you and I can't hear those right now. And the reason we can't hear those is because we are not tuned in to that frequency. That's right. It's flying all around us. There's tons of things flying through the airwaves right now. But we can't hear it, even though it's there, because we're not tuned in to it. We want to be, as believers, tuned in to hear the voice of the Lord. So those are some of the things we want to talk about, some of the principles. First of all, we know he's speaking. God is speaking. He's declared who he is, that he exists, you know, in just creation itself. We see his voice is constantly speaking, you know, through all kinds of even natural events, as it was described by the psalmist. But we also know that he's revealed himself through his word, a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said, was entrusted to us in this written text that we have, the Bible. What a wonderful thing to know that God has revealed himself to us. And truly, they are love letters as he's revealed himself to us. A couple of things to think about in this, and we want to touch on these couple of things because I think it kind of sets the stage before we get too far into this. But Jesus spoke about this in John's account, and I think it's good to think on this part of this as we get started, where he talked in John 10. And if you can't get to some of these quick enough, just jot them down and go back and read through them later. But John 10, verse 22. It was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Boy, what an important little portion of Scripture to remember. That Jesus speaks, and we can hear him as his sheep. You remember when we went through the parables, how he talks in the parable. He says, it was given to you. Man, you guys are blessed as disciples, as followers. He says, you're blessed because it's been given to you to understand. God's given us the ability to understand. He gave us the keys then to the parables as we had gone through when he talked about the sower sows the word in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. And we started to see that as that was disclosed to us. I like this one that we find in Luke 8:18. I like this one. And it's talking about the same concept as the parables have been revealed. And then he says, therefore, take heed how you hear. You ever thought about that? That we're to be taking heed to how we're hearing something. This is part of the keys to what voice am I tuning in to the right voice. Take heed how you hear. What's he talking about? He's talking about, are you listening via faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we were born again by that word of faith that was spoken to us. We received it, Peter said, in the first two chapters of 1 Peter. He says, you received that implanted word. That is the seed, not of the corruptible, but of the incorruptible word of God. So we were born again by that incorruptible word of God that was spoken, and we received it by faith in our hearts, and we were born again. That's really the wild transaction that took place. We opened our hearts to the Lord, and he came in and began to live in our lives. And it happened through his word that was spoken, his word that we read, that word that we heard coming over the airwaves. Somehow, by God's grace, we tuned in. God, help us to tune in and to hear his voice. God is speaking. There's a lot of voices out there, aren't there? There are so many voices. One of the keys that I'll tell you, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go through it tonight, but one of the important things, man, Christians, we need to know this. We really need to know this. Just because someone said it doesn't make it the truth. Just because Wikipedia recorded it doesn't make it the fact. Right? It's true. Just because certain things get entered in or shot out on the internet doesn't make it truth. It has to be pressed through the grid of this that we hold in our hands, the living word of the living God. If it does not match up against the word of God, I put it in question, and it sits in the question file. Wait, wait, wait. Because if it doesn't match up, I don't want to put my stock or my trust in that. I want to balance it up against the word and trust the living word and the living God. So important, because when we're listening to the voices out there that are going to come to us, you remember the old cartoon? The one shoulder was the little guy in the red suit with the pitchfork, and the other shoulder is more the cool guy, you know, that was trying to steer the guy the right direction, you know? You know, and there's this debate, and one's got one ear, one's got the other ear. I feel like that sometimes. You know, part of me is, oh, yeah, that's right. And then the other part is, well, no, come on now. You got to think right about that. You know, this battleground that takes place. And it's, what voice are you going to listen to? Who am I going to follow? Well, we got to balance those voices, those things that are vying for your attention and my attention, up against the word of God and say, hey, in order for this to be truth, God's not going to speak something that's contrary to his heart, to his word. It's going to be consistent, because that's what truth is. Truth can be known, and it is consistent. And that's awesome. That's exciting. That's a blessing. That helps me a lot, because I could get pretty scattered otherwise. And I love the fact that we can be anchored by his word, and that we can be on that sure word of prophecy that was entrusted to us. That idea out of Mark chapter 4, I just write these down for later reading, Mark 4, 21 through 25. And it really kind of concludes with this idea of the understanding of the parables was given to us. and as disciples, God's going to, all we have to do is ask Jesus, and Jesus will explain things to us. And we're on a need-to-know basis. So if you don't have all the information, you don't have to worry about that. Do you know that my hands are so full with the information that I do have and trying to walk in that? Brothers and sisters, we get so far out ahead of ourselves, we got to deal with A before we get out to XYZ out here. Man, my hands are full with trying to just walk in the Spirit and to love the way Jesus loved and to just realize the grace that he has shown me and how merciful he's been. Man, my hands are full walking in some of that. I can fill my head with a bunch of knowledge, but the reality is to just walk in that is a challenge each and every day, not to be gripped with such other things that vie for my attention. The thing is interesting in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if what? Any man hear my voice. Is Jesus speaking today? I believe he is. You being here, me being here, is proof that Jesus is speaking today. Because at some point we heard his voice, didn't we? And we opened the door. And he came in to our hearts, made our hearts his home. And we fellowship with him and he with us. We break bread with the Lord. Man, we heard the voice of the Lord. Remember, he's speaking. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. So really, what does it boil down to for us? For me, as a Christian, it boils down for me and for you, is that I just need to tune in. Tonight, as we get into this, let's look at this in 1 Samuel. Let's see how we can maybe tune in a little bit better to know his voice, to walk in his ways, to get a better feel for how it is that the Lord might minister. In verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 Samuel. I thought you guys would never get there. Finally get to 1 Samuel. Brief introduction, but gives us sets the stage for what's really going on and that it's available to us. You ever have people look at you? I do, and say, they almost look at me with absolute, and actually, I've had it said to me many times, almost with pity. You really think God talks to you, Jim? You really think God speaks to you? I can say definitively, yes. But they say that almost with pity, don't they? You poor sap. You think God actually talks to you. And I can honestly tell you, brothers and sisters, my eyes will well up sometimes. Not because I feel like they've made fun of me at all. I could care less. But because they don't know what I know. That my Lord and Savior bled on a cross for their sin and for my sin. And Jesus loves them with such a deep love and such deep compassion and wants to make himself known to them. My eyes will fill sometimes because I just think, man, you're feeling sorry for me. You have no idea. Don't pity me, man. Please. You've grossly misunderstood what's going on here in this interchange that we're having, you know. Isn't it true? But they look at us like that, don't they? Oftentimes. Now, we can hear from the Lord. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I didn't call you, go lie down. And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Samuel did not yet know. Notice this one in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli. And Eli said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. One of the first things that we want to note is Samuel's a young guy. He's a youth, basically still child, and certainly childlike. Do you remember somebody else telling us about the kingdom of God is formed such as these? Jesus telling us that we have to come to him basically with childlike faith, childlike trust, coming to him and approaching him with dependence on him, not independent, not forcing our way, but coming to Jesus just totally wanting to be dependent on him. That's one of the first things that you note is God's speaking. God's not talking to the old guy right now. The old guy's gotten way off track. Basically, truthfully, Eli, unfortunately, not because of age. It has nothing to do with age, but it has to do with callousness of heart, has become somewhat, no doubt, an old wineskin, hasn't he? God's wanting to move, but the word has become rare in these days, in that time period. This idea of rare, people just didn't hear much from God. They weren't discerning much from the Lord. And what we read in Judges is the reason why. Because they did what was right in the sight of their own lives. There wasn't much widespread revelation at the time, as we just read. Why? Because of that very thing. They're doing what's right in their own eyes. One of the keys to revelation, no doubt, is obedience. That's a very important thing to understanding revelation, God's voice being spoken to us on a continuous basis, has to do with oftentimes obedience to the Lord. Whenever somebody says they're going through a real dry spell or anything like that, I say, okay, so when did you last hear from the Lord? When did you last sense his presence and him ministering to you about something? And they tell me it was such and such, and it was several months ago, or it was, gosh, I just can't remember the last time or whatever. Do you remember the last thing that the Lord ministered to you? Whatever that was, do you remember what that was? Yes. And my only question is, did you do it? Did you do exactly as the Lord spoke to you? And did you do that from your heart? Did you really do that? And most often, the answer is no. And why would God reveal more when we haven't done what he said last time? Why would you continue to give more? God's not a dummy, obviously. He's not going to continue to invest more. Because to whom much is given, much more is required. Why would God keep heaping stuff on you and you're not responding? It's like heaping judgment on you. And God's not going to do that to you, nor to me. He wants to speak. He wants to the voice is out there. He's speaking through his word. Not much widespread revelation. I can identify with this so well because we see what's happening today. People are doing what's right in the sight of their own eyes. The word of the Lord was rare. Travel around the states, the United States, or the world, and look for places that are actually investing time in teaching through the Word of God with the body of Christ, with the people of God. You will find, unfortunately, as I have found, that it is few and far between that are really committed to the Word of God, to really investing in the people with the Word. That's just a simple truth. The word of the Lord is rare in our time, in a sense, in that way. This is why at Calvary Chapel here we're so committed to going through the simple teaching of God's word, that we might know the Lord. It is one of the ways he has revealed himself to us. And this is one of the keys is when we want to hear from the Lord is we want to listen for his voice. We want to know him, and when we listen to his word, we can start hearing God starting to speak to our hearts. Let's get into this a little further. So no doubt, God wants to speak to us, but he wants to speak to us not as old wineskins. You see, what is it about youthfulness or a young, you know, young at heart, or so it has nothing to do with age, but it does have to do with our pliability, our openness, you know? We're not all rigid and, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, you know. Kids just jump right into stuff most of the time. They'll try things, they'll do things. You know, we want them to quiet down, we want them to settle down, but that's not their nature. They're inquisitive, they're full of wonder and interest. And they're excited, they are trusting. There's just so much great things that we can learn from young lives like that. But as we get older, you know, haven't you had, oh, I've seen this. Gosh, I just cringe. I butt in, actually, when this happens. So if you do it and I butt in, you'll know why. It's for everybody's best interest, believe me. But somebody's getting fresh relationship and revelation from the Lord. God's just doing neat things. Are on fire for God. And somebody's been walking with the Lord a while. They're a little bit stale in their journey. And they start talking with them. They go, yeah, well, enjoy it now, you know. You know, there's a time coming, you know. And they're basically insinuating that, well, eventually you'll just be a twig like me and dried up and just life stinks, you know. And, you know, God help us. It has nothing to do with our age. Brothers and sisters, it has nothing. I'm watching Pastor Chuck at 83 just putting this pedal to the floor. You know, I mean, he's just going all the time. I'm watching Frank Drown at 86 or 87 years old, just excited about what Jesus is doing, reaching the native North American people up in Canada. And he's just spending all his energies and efforts trying to let people know how they can partner with him to get radio transponders and equipment and things into people's hands out there in the wilds of Canada so that they can hear the gospel. That's just where he's got a burden. He's got a burden for indigenous people groups. And he's just stumbled across one because he likes to go fishing up there. That's the honest truth. God just used his natural interests and his inclinations in his retirement. And, you know, there's no retirement. You don't retire from God. I mean, what would you do? You know, it's weird. So he's serving the Lord in that way now. He's not an old wineskin. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with our age. It has to do with our thought process. It has to do with taking heed how we hear. How we hear. The voices out there. But how am I hearing it? Am I hearing it with wonder and faith? This idea for this is having that openness to follow the Lord, that childlike perspective. And so that's one of the keys to this, as we see as we get started in this. He's the boy Samuel. But look at what else it says in verse 1. It says, he ministered to the Lord. He ministered to the Lord. I think this is really, really important. Does it say he ministered? And this is significant. This word change-up I'm doing with you right now is significant. It says in your Bible, I believe, along with mine, he ministered to the Lord. Does anybody say anything different than that? Before the Lord. Before, to, pardon? Unto, great. All of those insinuate the same concept. It is not for. Much of the time in our journeys, we get connected with God and we want to do something for God. We want to do something for him. And that's great. That's a wonderful heart, isn't it? That's a good heart. God, be zealous for the Lord. The Bible's clear on that. But keep your zeal, the Bible says, serving God. The Lord. See, unto, to, is different than for. Two different things. Both are important, and God wants both. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. But we need to hear from him, and then we need to, in response, think of how Samuel is just there serving God. The Lord, serving God. as we just read just a little bit further down in verse 7, he did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him yet. But yet he's serving, he's ministering to the Lord. You know, that idea invokes something interesting to me. The Bible talks to you, to me, about offering up a sacrifice of praise. That means we're offering up something, and there's nothing necessarily coming in return at that time, at that moment. Think about Samuel. He doesn't even really have this personal relationship in that sense yet, even with the Lord, but he's ministering to God. How can you minister to God? You can, through prayer, obviously, praise, worship, adoration, all of those things that you can do, you offer up to God. You give that to God. You acknowledge his presence. Thankfulness is that same thing, expressing a thankful heart, ministering to the Lord. I got home and my wife had just gone through, and because I wasn't around, so she was able to, without distraction, just spiff out the house, you know, and clean things up and do a bunch of stuff, you know. And I appreciate that. But really, that's awesome. But really what I liked was just sitting down and talking with her and going for a walk together yesterday evening when I'd gotten home. That's really what I enjoyed, really. The other stuff was just she was doing something for me. But doing something together is something, that's something that is really ministering to. You see, it's a different concept. So when we think about that, our ministering to the Lord, giving something to the Lord, offering ourselves up to the Lord, expressing these things to God, and then God, these are all aspects of getting in that place where we can hear his voice. We're getting ourselves ready to hear from him. He's going to speak. And this is a great, am I approaching him with that desire, you know, and enthusiasm and interest with expectation like a young child would? Am I trusting and abandoning myself to him as a child would? My mom, when I was a little kid, I told her one time there's these bigger kids and they're playing down at the rec park, and I was down there and goofing around. It was down the street from our house, and so I was playing down at the park, and their baseball had gone down into one of the drain culverts in the gutter. And I was a little guy, I was probably, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, and their ball had gone down in there, and they said, hey, can you go down there and get that thing? So I rolled on my belly and crawled right through and down into the culvert and got their ball and climbed back out. Mom goes, Jimmy, you can't do that stuff. You can't just do what people ask you to do like that. You know, it's nice that you wanted to help him, everything, because she knew I was just real trusting. You know, I didn't think that, well, what if they block me in there and I can't get out? Or I never think of anything about that. I just was helping them out. They asked me to help them, I helped them, you know. And you know, it's just, that's the kind of, that's childlike, you know. You just do things. In the Lord, God appreciates our heart for him that way, that we approach it that way. And then that we're ministering to him. Man, I like that concept of just ministering to him. Will you turn with me to Isaiah? I want to show you something that happens as we minister to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, familiar portion of scripture for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. send me. He's in the presence of the Lord. He's ministering to God, and he hears God speaking. The triune Godhead conversing amongst themselves. Who will go for us? God knows when we're tuned in. And when we get tuned into God, we're going to start hearing what's going on. And when we start hearing what's going on, all of a sudden we're going to realize God's looking for someone to move through. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord searches to and fro across the face of the earth, searching for one man, one woman, to show himself strong on behalf of that one, moving through that one, that person, those whose heart is for him or consecrated to him, committed to him. Wonderful truth. Turn with me quickly to Acts on this same thought. Ooh, this is a neat one. Acts 13. Look at this. Paul, Barnabas, the bros, they're all gathered together. And as they, oh, look at this, verse 2, chapter 13, Acts 13, 2. Look at this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, worshiping God, just praising him for who he is, thanking him for his goodness, just offering up what is due his name. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So important that we are ministering to the Lord, that we might hear from the Lord. And oftentimes, it's that idea of that which I have first received, Paul the Apostle said, that's what I'm going to give back out. But how am I going to receive that if I'm not ministering to the Lord in a place where I can receive that? And oftentimes we're out running, wanting to do things for God. Noble, wonderful, good things, I know. But what if that wasn't what God said to do? What if that wasn't what God was speaking to do? It's a good idea. It's a wonderful thought. But did you ever think that that might go up in flames and just be part of your burn pile? Wood, hay, and stubble? Because it wasn't motivated out of the Spirit? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging me, you know, to think through these things. What voice? Tuning in. I want to hear from the Lord. So many people get caught up wanting to do things for God, but God's just saying, hey, I'd love to have you just minister to me. And as you minister to me, when you're hanging out with me, do you remember the disciples? They said, hey, man, this is a paraphrase, but this is what they said. Hey, man, so where are you hanging out? They're talking to Jesus. Where are you hanging out? Basically, they're asking about, they said, where do you kick your sandals off at? Or, you know, this, you know, where do you lay, put your shoes? Or, but their whole concept is, where are you going tonight? Where are you going to be? We just want to hang out with you. We just want to get to know you, Jesus. We want to be with you. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know? But they're cool. No, we just want to be with you. We're not interested in what you have, what pictures you got on your walls, or any of that. We just want to be with you. You see, isn't that great to want to just be, I just want to be with him. I just want to hang around Jesus. I just want to be with him. Crazy stuff happens when you're hanging around with Jesus. Withered hands come back. Blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak. Radical stuff happens when you hang around with Jesus. Isn't it great to be led by the Lord, to be hearing from him, and then to be called out to do those things? Notice where he's at when he's doing this at this present time. He's in the temple, isn't he? He's in the gathering place of the people of God. There are some unfortunate things in this point in time, is that during this time, the lamp of God's starting to go out. That's never supposed to ever happen, if you remember when we studied through. That lamp was to be burning as a perpetual thing, as to express or to reveal the presence of God. And it was always, always, always supposed to be burning. The priests were faltering, weren't they, in their duties? They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were faltering. Did it stop God from speaking? To them, maybe, but not to Samuel. Samuel's innocent of that, right? He's got an innocence about him. That childlike innocence is there about him. He's ministering to the Lord. And I found that I really agree with that thought, that as we are in the place of gathering with other believers, oftentimes God will begin to speak and move and talk to our hearts through his word in settings just like this. In other men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, prayer times, gatherings like this. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us in our devotional time. Certainly he does. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak in other situations, but it is the idea that we are getting to this place. We're setting aside this time, and God knows it, and God's going to meet us here. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am, Jesus said, in the midst of them. God's moving. He's wanting to speak to us. It's wonderful to me as I'm at the back and I'm greeting people on Sunday mornings as people are leaving and people are talking about the different things. And very seldom do people hear the same thing. It's an interesting thing to me. It's a phenomena of the Spirit. The general gist everybody gets of what we've covered, a topic or something, sure, you know, in a text that we've covered with its topics in the text. Sure, we get that. But, man, the Lord really spoke to me about this, and it really answered something I've been dealing with. And I spoke nothing specifically about that, but I oftentimes get that kind of feedback. And this person got something entirely different, and that person got something, because God's at work. God's moving. His Spirit's speaking to us. God speaks to me sometimes in the midst of gatherings like this when I'm just sharing from my heart. God starts speaking to me about things. As we are gathered together, being in that place where we're of a mind to receive from the Lord, we're with God's people, we're in that posture to receive from the Lord is real significant for us. God is moving. Notice here, though, he is certainly in the place of gathering, isn't he? He's in the temple. He's in the place of gathering where God's people would gather together. And he's come to that place. He works there. He serves there. Interesting, as now he begins to speak to Samuel. Now, Samuel has not yet heard from the Lord. He's not, doesn't know the voice. He's not tuned in. He can't discern the voice of the Lord. But these first few things I've given us are for any of us, because we can always place ourselves in these spots where we might be able to have the most optimum potential to receive and hear from the Lord. I love this. He didn't yet know, nor know to discern, but one thing you will notice as this happens to him, as soon as he hears something, he gets up and he responds to it. He gets up and checks it out. Eli, dude, what's up? You know, what do you need? Did you call me? Samuel, dude, I'm just about to sleep. Get out of here. Go back to bed. You know, and this happens repetitively a few times. Samuel kept getting up and following, wanting to investigate it, wanting to know, is Eli, what is it? He's attentive. He's attentive. It's late. It's middle of the nightish. It's bedtime. Does God speak always when it's convenient for you? I've often not found that to be true. After my big flash of light and my explosion and the, you know, lights flickering and all that stuff, I sat there. There was no smoke, no flame coming out of the engine or anything. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Lord, you told me we're going there and we're coming back, so I'm cool. Whatever, you know, you want to do in between, I guess that's up to whatever you allow. I was just had an immediate just sense of God's presence and peace. I felt bad for everybody else on the plane, you know, but I really just had a sense of God's presence, and he just ministered, you know, to my heart, and it's just cool. It's the norm for me. So I just accept that. But this idea of God, it's not always convenient when God starts to minister in a situation or something, a circumstance occurs in our life and it's difficult for us. But God is speaking in those situations. What is he doing? He's getting, as he does with you and with me, he's waking him up, disturbing him in the middle of the night. But as it is with you and as it is with me, God's getting his attention. See, God knows what'll trip your trigger and my trigger. God will do things to get our attention. Why? Because he wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal something of himself to us. I have gone through dark, dark days before for extended periods of time. And no joke, all I could see was barely the dust coming from his sandals and the back of his garment in my journey with the Lord. For not a day, not a week, not a month, more like a few years. I've seen some dark days, brothers, sisters. It's not pleasant. I wish this for no one, but it's okay. I have learned by faith to follow my master regardless and to trust him. Because he knows, and he allows those times that I might, that you might, that we might know him intimately in a way that we would never know him otherwise. I am more equipped, though I did not go through the exact thing, and though all I could do was express the similar grief as someone loses a loved one, or certainly the loss of a small baby. Certainly, you know? My heart and my compassion and my grief was there. And all I can say is Jesus is there too, though. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Lo and I were talking about this just the other day, about we are walking at times through that valley, not stopping, not camping, not wallowing in, but we are walking through. He is the good shepherd that leads us, not pitching our tent there. It's not a good campground. You don't want to build a house there. You see what I'm saying? But you walk through difficulties and move along by faith, trusting God. Man, this gets into something really cool. The Lord called Samuel again a third time in verse 8. And he arose, he went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. He says, "Oh, been a long while, but I know it's possible that maybe God's speaking to this kid." Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say," man, memorize these words. Etch them into your person and utilize them. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." This is what this means in its original language, in the Hebrew. This means, I am listening to you and I'm willing to do as you ask. That's what that means. In its original language, that's what that means. I am listening to you and I'm willing to do as you ask. And as soon as Samuel responded in that way, he heard the voice of the Lord telling him what was going on. The revelation then came. God is getting us through circumstances and situations in our lives to get us to a place where we'll cry, "Uncle. Uncle." You know, I spend every day like that. "Uncle." You know, I'm just, whatever you want to do, Lord. Do you remember when, you know, your older brother pinned you down and, you know, you couldn't move anymore, and or you're wrestling with your friends and somebody pinned you down and you just had to cry uncle, you know? Well, I live like that with God. It's better to cry uncle. Just let the Lord have his way. The idea is this willingness, listening to the Lord with a willing heart to do openly, willingly, wanting to do whatever he asks. Once we get to that point, now God can speak, because it's not just falling on deaf ears, is it? He wants to minister to you. He wants to minister to me. He wants us to have that information. And then the important thing is what goes on as he starts to declare this. As the Lord begins to pour this stuff out to him, here comes the revelation now. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, and Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then, I love that, isn't that cool? Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. He didn't discipline them. He didn't deal with the matter, and therefore there's judgment coming. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He didn't want to talk to him about it. And Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do as seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, from north to south, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So God began to use him. Some of the things in this, as God spoke to Samuel, as he gave him this revelation, as this revelation came to him, no doubt that it's significant that he was attentive. He was available. He was responding to God as God was being. He was understanding that God might be wanting to talk to me through this thing, through this circumstance, through this situation. It's difficult. I'm uncomfortable, or whatever the circumstance, or I'm awoken in the middle of the night, or whatever the situation might be, that God's wanting to maybe speak to us and to our hearts. Now, again, remember, God is not going to speak something to you or to me that is inconsistent with his heart or his word. God's not going to speak something to you. So discerning this is very important, knowing that God is not going to speak things to you that are inconsistent with his heart or his word. He's going to say things that bear witness. His Spirit's going to minister things that bear witness. I think it's important as we look at this that Samuel followed through in our closing thoughts. Samuel followed through. He was somebody who was faithful with what was entrusted to him. He did go ahead and communicate those things. Just as we read, well, I'll read it to you real quickly. We know out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll just cite these, we'll get these real quickly. Chapter 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord," Paul said, "that which I also delivered to you." I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, you and I really should only be delivering that which we've received from the Lord. Those things that we've received from the Lord, that God has ministered to us through his word, that was which was what we can give off to somebody else, to share with somebody else. The same thing is brought up again in chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered, Paul said, to you, first of all, that which I also received. Same thing. I heard from the Lord ministered this to me, and that's what I'm going to share with you. Gosh, that's significant. Oh my, that's important, to be someone who is faithful with what God entrusted to you. He's not just giving you stuff so you walk around feeling like you're a secret agent man or woman, and that you've got some now, this great divine revelation that was just, I mean, that's absurd, ridiculous, and pompous. That's just ridiculous to me. God has not intended that. God wants to minister. Notice he's got this message that he's got to share with Eli. And he doesn't come at him and says, man, I've been putting up with your stuff for the last so many years and watching you guys do all this stuff. He was grieved over it. Man, I've been hanging out with Eli for the last 13 years or 12 years or so, and the guy's been like a dad to me. He's kind of a sideways dude in certain ways, and his kids are worse, but gee whiz, I've been hanging out with this guy, and man, judgment's coming, and wow. God help us to look at the world around us from that perspective. Samuel had great compassion. He really just didn't want to say all that way, but he had this message. He was faithful with it, but he shared it with agape in his heart, really. He shared it with compassion. Man, yes, judgment is coming. It is coming. On the earth, it's coming. Right now, I would plead with anyone that grace is available. God's goodness and his mercy is there. May we be that way with the message that God entrusts to us from his word, that we might be merciful and gracious, knowing that that's the heart of God. Let's listen for the voice of the Lord. Let's tune in. These are some great tools to use to help us. Man, I want to refine. I want to be able to hear you, Lord. And remember, he's going to reveal himself to us through his word, through that still small voice, through that impression as he just speaks to us about a situation or a circumstance. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we just pray, Lord, that as we spend a moment together, that you'd continue to minister and speak to our hearts, Lord, that we might know you more intimately. In Jesus' name, amen.